This is the Unregistered Podcast, and I'm Thaddeus Russell. This is a show about ideas, people, and behaviors that are considered inappropriate, out of bounds, or beyond the pale. The things you're not supposed to talk about if you're a school teacher, a college professor, a businessman, a politician, a parent, a neighbor, or even a podcast host. These are the things you're not supposed to say or even think if you're a good liberal, a good conservative, or a good citizen. Each week, I'll interview a person who has something bad to say. They might be a journalist or a professor. They might be a porn star or a drug dealer. They might just be an ordinary person with an ordinary job who doesn't care about the rules of polite society. I'm not interested in breaking the rules just to be a troublemaker. I'm interested in people who break the rules of conventional thought and who expand the scope of what is possible to say in our society. I'm interested in people who make me think. At the Icarus Festival, I sat down with Jack Mason to discuss why one of the greatest works of art in American history was banned in 2020 and what it says about the world we live in today. This is my interview with Jack Mason. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Icarus Fest 2023, the last event of this festival. We just watched Gone with the Wind, which is the most popular film of all time. It is, I believe, the highest grossing film of all time. And now it is nearly impossible to watch it because in 2020, there was a cancellation campaign launched against it. HBO Max dropped it entirely. They later added it, but now you can only watch it with a lecture from a critical race theory professor telling us about the stereotypes and why it's a bad movie. And it's virtually impossible to see in theaters. This is why I thought it was so important for us to show it here, to offer that to people. I'm an American historian, and I've studied the Civil War and Reconstruction quite a bit. And I have quite a few things to say about history, although that's going to be boring. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. Thank you very much. Big ups to history. I'm here with Jack Mason of the Perfume Nationalist podcast. And I think we have many of your fans here. And the reason we showed this film is for only one reason. Him. I became a fan of his show years ago. And I guess you had an entire episode about it, but I think you've mentioned it multiple times. And I listened to that episode and I was completely blown away by his analysis, by his critique. But I guess more what was really stunning to me is just your attitude about the film, about the past, about norms that are no longer respectable or acceptable, the way that gender relations are structured. Nowadays, right? No longer can we allow depictions of women like that. Certainly, with race, we can't depict slaves as being anything other than victims. The Quentin Tarantino depiction of them as residents of a torture chamber, right? That's acceptable. But they can't be happy at all with their lives. So we understand why it was canceled in the June of 2020 after the George Floyd death and the riots. But now we're looking back at this art and wondering whether we should look at it with appreciation. And Jack, I guess I just want to hear from you first about your feelings, because you're one of the few men I know who talks about feelings. What are your feelings, or what were your feelings when you first saw the movie?
Well, I really got back into Gone with the Wind in the early 2010s. It was such a ubiquitous presence before that. I think it's important to remember that it was controversial when it originally came out. It's continuously been controversial and kind of a thorn in the side of liberal academics. That disapproval was just formerly more confined to critics and academic circles. Even though the book won the Pulitzer, Margaret Mitchell, who's one of the great artists of the 20th century, never receives her due along with other great women writers. And you'll see this also with people like Ayn Rand and Camille Paglia, who sell millions and millions of books, have a devoted century-long fan base, and yet they never get mentioned in the rundowns of great female artists. I also think that Gone with the Wind is kind of misunderstood as being this serious apologia for slavery, when actually what it is this fast-talking, morbidly funny, dark satire of women, the book especially. The movie turns it into a bit of something else. The movie is kind of a bit less acidically witty and cruel, but once you open that book, you see that it's this 30s flapper kind of fast-talking drawing room comedy. It's the cruelest book about women and stereotypes of women ever written. Scarlett O'Hara stands out because she's, unlike most old Hollywood characters who sometimes seem so foreign and strange and of another time and like they're swimming underwater, she seems totally modern. And the fact that she's such a profoundly unlikable and mercenary and cruel character, she's even crueler in the book than she is in the movie, but that this is shown as being essential to her success in adapting to the Reconstruction South and not just dying off like the more nostalgic Southerners do. Her cruelty is why she's able to succeed, and her lack of morals is why she's able to succeed. So she's an incredible character in that way. Everyone in the movie represents something very important historically. She's in love with Ashley because he's the one person who won't give her what she wants. He's always out of reach. He's always stringing her along. But Ashley is this foppish, incestuous, dreamy representative of the Old South. Rhett owes allegiance to no one. Rhett is totally independent. And Rhett is also the only man who can conquer her, because he's the only one that isn't intimidated by her. The entire movie, he's negging her and calling her a slut right from the first scene. It's incredible, and it's hot. And Melanie is who you want to be. Melanie, who is so mocked and taken for granted by Scarlett, turns out to be the best person in the whole cast, who represents Christian charity and decency and loyalty. And Scarlett only realizes that Melanie was the only person who stood up for her after she's gone. And she realizes, after overcoming all of these obstacles and living through the war, that Ashley and what she always wanted was something that didn't exist. And so the movie acts as a metaphor for this nostalgia that Southerners after the war had for an old South that was like Camelot, with lords and ladies and happy slaves and this genteel, beautiful, formal way of life. This depiction of the South is what's so controversial about the movie and the book, but actually it's delivered in a smart way and with a whole bunch of critique and a whole bunch of irony. Like, you can watch Gone with the Wind on multiple levels. I'm sure people of the time, you know, when this book came out, there were still people who were around from the Civil War alive. So there's that nostalgia, but it announces its intent right from the start, where it says there's a land of lords and ladies. Now it's no more than a dream remembered. Did it ever exist? The most recent cancellation attempt for Gone with the Wind is, you know, one of many. In the 2000s, there was kind of a more general appreciation for old Hollywood and old cinema, largely because of DVDs and the kind of exhaustive DVD releases that you got, and this sort of post-racial collapse of political correctness. In the 2010s, racism as a contentious thing was revived very deliberately by the Democrat Party. and so something like Gone with the Wind is dangerous because it shows that someone besides the Democrat, Yankee, coastal elites can have a popular and sophisticated and eternal artistic vision.